Some of our parents will be dismissing themselves to take their babies to the nursery, and they'll be returning in just a few minutes. I'd like for you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9, as I talk about life lessons for little ones. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 6 through 9. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. A couple had been married for only a few years. One day, the husband came home from work. His wife opened the door, and she just hugged him passionately, planted several kisses on him, and looked at him and said this. She said, "I want you to know that real soon, we won't be the only two living in this house." He was so excited. He picked her up. He twirled her around. He said, "You have made me the happiest man in the whole wide world." She said, "I'm so glad." Said, "Mother will be moving in next Monday." That's not exactly the surprise or gift that he was looking for at the time. Psalm 127, 3 through 5 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of warriors are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court." So today I want us to think about what the Bible says to parents. I don't claim to be an expert on parenting. However, since I don't have children, I think I can be more objective than parents. You believe that? Say amen. And I hear all silence. But what I want to do is share just a few principles with you that we get from the best parenting book in the whole wide world, from Genesis to the book of Revelation, on how to be a great parent to your children. First of all, dedicate yourself to show love. Back in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." The love he's talking about there is unconditional kind of love. That kind of love is a combination of love and understanding. Unconditional love is the kind that we express towards somebody even in the midst of their faults. 1 John 4, 7a says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Love is not something you're born with. Love is not something that is real natural for a human being. Love is something that you learn. Love is something that you acquire. And love is something that is supernatural, a supernatural gift from God to us once we are born again. Now, there are three ways in which you can show unconditional love. First of all, is affection. Kids need a whole lot of affection. They need to hear, "I love you." They need to hear, "You're special to me." Little girls, I don't know why, but they like to sit in their mother's laps. When little boys get a little bit older, they like to wrestle with their dads. And I want to caution you to make sure when your kid's old enough to whip you, dad, stop wrestling with your child. They love that connection with mom and dad, that physical touch, that healthy physical touch that shows them affection. Second thing I want you to write down is affirmation. Your child needs to be affirmed repeatedly. It needs to become a natural part of your vocabulary to affirm your child. It's so very important. We need affirmation as adults. It doesn't hurt every now and then for your wife to express grace and tell you what a great husband you are. Guys, it's not a bad idea to affirm the beauty of your wife. I would recommend that every day. That doesn't mean she'll fix you fudge brownies every day, but that means that she is going to respond better to you when you affirm her. where you work, you like for your supervisor to affirm and compliment your good work. So in the home, that's where it begins, children ought to get affirmation. I felt sorry for my parents. I was always so small. I could make the starting team in Little League for 3 years at second base, but I couldn't hit a wash bucket if they threw it up there. It's a slow ball. But my mom and dad were up there applauding, and I know it embarrassed them to even claim that I was their child. But they affirmed me. When I was the smallest moon that ever rose and played in the cow jumped over the moon in elementary school, and all I had to do is just be the moon. My parents were there applauding for the moon. And here it is, all these years later, I remember their affirmation. Third thing you want to write down there is children need attention. It'll do wonders for your child if you'll just really listen to them when they're talking. Now, most of the time, I know now that your children are doing this when you're doing the talking. But when they talk to you about what goes on at school, what's going on with their friends, what's going on at church, you need to listen because that makes them feel important. I read a study recently, dads, listen to me carefully. The average father in the United States communicates with their children, one child, 37 seconds per day. That's sad. They need attention because that's the way you express love, and the way you express love is spending time with your children. Then they need direction. The second thing I want you to write down is in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You've got to teach them. Now, notice this is a command. This is an imperative. This is not a choice. God says if you're going to obey me, he says you need to teach your children. When you teach and obey God, there's blessing. When you disobey God, you fail to teach children, you're going to deal with the consequences. It's a command. He says, teach them. You know, the Bible is the best parenting textbook that you'll ever read. That's something you must teach to your children. Teach children the commandments in the Word of God. They'll never fail them. The word is teach there. He says to do it when you're in the home. Do it when you go out for a walk. Do it when you're out at night before bedtime. Teach them the word of God. Even have these commandments, he says, on the walls of your homes, reminding your children that your home belongs to God. Jesus Christ is to be taught to your children as the unseen guest in your home, at meals, at daytime, nighttime. Jesus is Lord of this house. Children need counsel. Children need compassion. But I want you to know they need to be taught the Word of God. Dr. James Dobson said this about the importance of passing the gospel to your children. He said, it's like a relay race. He says, it's like a three-man relay race. Here's mom and dad. They have children. You're to share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ at the earliest possible age. Have them involved in church, but realize that children's ministry and youth ministry are not primarily responsible to teach your children the Word of God. Moses said it's to be taught in the home by the parents. Well, you take off, you've got the baton, and all of a sudden you come all the way around to the exchange area. Your children are grown, and they are married, and you're passing the baton off to your children. And then they go around, and then they're going to have their children that are grown, and they're passing the baton to their children's children. And if you're a coach today, especially a track coach, here's what you will say. A relay race is not won or lost on the back stretch. It's won or lost in the exchange area, whether you're passing that baton. If the baton is fumbled or it's dropped, your team is going to lose so many seconds to the other team that you're going to lose the race. Christian values that we have need to be passed on to our children. Dobson said the tragedy is in the particular day and time that many people are fumbling when they pass the baton, not passing on to their children the values they learned as a parent. Third thing I want you to write down is discipline. Children, just like we, just like you the parents, make mistakes. They need accountability and training. The Lord corrects. He disciplines. The Lord disciplines those that He loves. Listen to me carefully. There's difference in punishment and discipline. Punishment is paying a price for something you did in the past. Now, in my house, that breaking the rules of the house, that punishment might have been something done in the past, but that punishment could have been enforced in about 2 minutes after my past was over, if you understand what I'm talking about. Discipline is just correction so that their children will, listen, make better decisions in the future. Notice the Lord is not in heaven watching over our every action, and every time we do something wrong, slap us on the hand with a ruler. He doesn't punish us, His children. He disciplines us. He convicts us through His Word and the Holy Spirit when we've disobeyed Him. Sometimes there's consequences, but He teaches us principles so that we'll make better decisions and be more obedient the next time we face a choice. Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whoever spares the rod hates their children. But the one who loves their children is careful to not punish them, but discipline them." Proverbs 19:18, "Discipline your children, for that in that there is hope." God's way of disciplining children involves three things: quickly, calmly, and sparingly. And I think you can understand this if you'll examine the way God relates to you as a believer. God doesn't punish His children because punishing children has the idea of us committing a crime for which a penalty must be paid. Well, if God doesn't punish believers, what does He do? He disciplines us. And the purpose of the discipline is to promote spiritual growth in our lives. Let me recommend a great book to you that's been around for a while. I love the title. It's by Dr. Kevin Lehman, "Making Children Mind Without Losing Yours." And I want to share with you just several little principles that he shares in that book. He says, establish a healthy authority over your children. Listen to me carefully, and I don't think parents get this in general. Your home is not a democracy. Did you hear what I said? Your home is not a democracy. The Bible says that the husband is the head of the house and the parents are in charge of the children. If we make our children the absolute centerpiece of the family, we teach them that they are the center of the universe. And when they go out into the world, they're going to find out that the world does not revolve around them. Number two, hold your children accountable for their actions. Every parent is a homeschooler. That doesn't mean all your children are homeschooled. But every parent is a homeschooler when it comes to teaching discipline and teaching the Word of God to your children. They have to know there are consequences for their actions. I was reading in this book, this lady said she had a daughter named Ashley, and she said, "I always ran carpool and took her to school every day. Ashley was just fooling around, talking on her cell phone to a friend for 20 minutes at home when she should have been getting dressed. So when she hung up the phone and got dressed, they were late. Her mother said, if you would have gotten off that phone and gotten dressed, we'd be on time. And the little girl, she said, "Mama, I need you to write me a note for my teacher. She's going to be mad, and I'll get punished if I don't have an excuse for being late." So her mother wrote, "Dear teacher, my daughter Ashton fooled around for 20 minutes talking on the phone rather than getting dressed this morning. Therefore, we are late. I think she deserves whatever punishment you give her at school. Signed, Ashton's mom." You've got to teach that they're accountable for their actions. The next thing I want you to write down is this: let reality be their teacher. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm being cruel right now. Things that happen around us can teach your children about life and death. Deer are running all over the place this time of the year. We've got 7 in our neighborhood. When I'm coming to work at 8:45 in the morning, they've decided on Eden Ridge Drive, there he comes. And all 7 of them, one at a time, come out in front of me. So I stop and watch it. Thursday when I was coming to work, it was 8:45. I wanted to be here at 9:00. There's 25 turkeys hanging out together on top of the hill. And so there were 3 of them in full strut, fanned out. So most of them got off the road. But there's one old boy that he just decided he would just walk in front of the car, and he just looked at me like that as he was coming across. I just want to hit the accelerator, you know. Don't take that wrong. How many times you see a dead deer on the side of the road? I've talked to people who have hit turkeys that broke their windshield. Lesson for your children: look both ways before you cross the street and make sure it's safe, or you're going to wind up being a dead turkey or a dead deer. You say, "Well, that's a little gross." Well, let me lighten it up for you. Why don't you buy some goldfish? Mom and Dad would never let us have over 3 goldfish at a time. We didn't have an aquarium. We had a fish bowl. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't know why. I figured it out later on. But they always kept it next to the kitchen sink. Now, there's 3 things you need to do with a goldfish. You need to feed them, don't overfeed them, and change the water. Isn't that right? And so you turn that responsibility over to your children, and they go in one morning and there's a goldfish facing up. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is not going to do any good. They're dead. The other thing is, sometimes your children get exuberant and they decide they're going to overfeed them every day. And they go in about the 3rd day and they're like this. No CPR. That's not going to help. The other thing, Mom and Dad, they made sure there was a certain goldfish mortality. We get some energetic goldfish, and we get up some morning and our goldfish had jumped out of the bowl into the dry sink. And they were dead. Sometimes you can take care of a goldfish according to the instructions and they die. It's a great opportunity at an appropriate age to teach your children about the realities of life and death. And you can do that with things that surround them. And then parents, there needs to be more action than words. Your children know what you're going to say to them. Stop playing with that stick. You're going to poke your eye out. Don't make me say it again. Stop slamming the doors in the house. And you know what they do? Slam the doors in the house. They know what you're going to say again before you ever say it again. So you got to take some kind of action. I'll let you go this time, but don't let that happen again. Writer of this book said, when my son Kevin was in the 8th grade, he came home from school and said, "Dad, I got a spelling test tomorrow. I want you to quiz me about the words and help me teach me how to spell them." And so his son went in and turned on the television, and it got to be 10 p.m. Dad already gone to bed. Son walked in there and said, Dad, said, I'm ready to learn those spelling words right now. Dad said, Son, it's too late. It's my bedtime. If you hadn't been watching television and you put your studies first, we'd get that done. You've got to have actions. You got to put teeth behind your rules and regulations. And then stick to your guns, but don't shoot yourself in the foot. I love this description. Children are marathon runners, and they're the ankle biter battalion. They know that if they keep whining and arguing and pleading and complaining, and finally tell you that your no is just not fair, they can win the fight. Children know they can wear you down. So if you've got principles, you've got to stick with them. Because if you give in, they're going to whine more the next time. You've got to outlast them, and they'll learn that it's pointless to whine. And then relationships come before rules. The principles of reality, discipline, it's got to be set in concrete. There's some who give in to them, and people always want rules for parenting. But listen, there are no X's and O's on the playing field of life. It's going to work every time. There's no absolute straight line for parenting. You've got to build parenting around relationships. Discipline in your house has got to be more than just posted rules and regulations on the walls, because that won't work. This guy said, last summer, my two daughters, age 12 and 7, had to fly home from New York to Arizona. And the author of this book said, I had a business meeting I had to attend in New York late that afternoon. So he said, I had to make a decision. Do I put my 12-year-old and 7-year-old on a plane to fly from New York to Arizona, or do I fly with them, and when I get to Arizona, get on a plane back to New York and make it in time for my meeting? So he said, I was standing at the ticket desk, and the lady at the ticket desk with the airline said, sir, you don't need to be making that choice. She said, one of the special features of this airline is your children can fly by themselves safely, and we will take them to the family member on the other end. We're the best. And you know what the father said? He said, ma'am, it's not your job to be responsible for my children. It's mine. So he flew from New York to Arizona with his children, put them in the hands of their parents, the mother, and flew back from Arizona to New York for his business meeting that day. He said, my relationship with my daughters takes precedence over my business schedule, and they know it. And then live by your values. Everybody's talking today about values. The only values that are important to me and are approved in the eyes of God are those values that are built on the Word of God. This is a valueless society. People think they're their own God, and they make up their own lifestyles, their own rules, regulations, and principles. Think about what your children are exposed to just on their electronic devices. I was listening to the Moody Channel when I was traveling this week, and a lady called in, and she said, my husband is a deacon at our church. We have children. But she said, he's hooked on child pornography. And I couldn't believe this. They had a psychiatrist on the other end that said, do you realize since you called us, we're legal, mandated reporters. We've got to get your last name and report your husband. You'd be surprised how many men and women in churches today are hooked on pornography. The statistics now are between 30 and 35% of pastors across America are hooked on pornography? What is that showing your children in your home? They're going to learn enough at school. They're going to learn enough out in society. What if you go to purchase something and you happen to be paying cash? Your children are with you and they watch as the clerk gives you back $20 too much change, and you just put it in your purse and think, this is my lucky day, and walk out. What did you just teach your child? Here's another real good one. You're driving your children and a driver cuts you off. What do you say? Here's another one. You're at a basketball game or maybe the Little League baseball game. The referee or the umpire makes a bad call. Let me ask you, how do you respond? What did your children learn from you? I was at a girls' softball game. And by the way, I always knew slow pitch softball. Those high school girls that are pitching now, I would not stand in the batter's box. Just one blow to the side of my head, and I'd be out there singing the sweet Jesus, praising him all the day long. But I was at a softball game several years ago, and one of our local teams was playing. They were out of town, and I followed them out of town because we had some girls on the team. The girl involved and the parents involved were not members of our church. But I watched a dad there. He had two players on the team. And I watched him stay on the umpire the whole time. And then he yelled at his girls on the field the whole time. And one of the girls was a catcher. And she did something and made an error. And man, he was right up there at the backstop chewing her out. She just dropped what she had, and she was in tears, and she turned around her daddy and said, I wish you'd shut up. What a horrible scene. And I thought, if these girls live with this out on the softball field, what in the world do they see in their home? You can't complain about society, a valueless society, unless you're living Bible-based values in your home. Then develop a healthy self-image in your children. Build confidence in them. And what they've got to do is be taught how to have confidence in God's love, His grace, His mercy. I can't stress too much for parents. You provide an education, you provide clothes, but parents are stressed out. Children sit under some teachers that are stressed out. You grow up in society that's stressed out. People making all kinds of demands. I remember Dad said, now, son, if a C is the best you can make in school, that's good. But if you make a B, make a B. And if you make A's, make A's. But you pass. But here's what happens with many people, because they want to be so proud of their children and put a bumper sticker on their car. Listen, you're making B's, now we want all A's. Okay, they study real hard and they make all A's. And then you come back and sit down and say, well, listen, we want you to make A pluses. Then you make all A pluses and then you make an A minus and then the parents are upset with them. Again, that does not build self-confidence in your children. Oh, I want you to play on the football team. I was part of the state championship when I went to that high school. So this dad wants to live more of his dreams through his son. How many times do you see that? Now, son, I not only want you to be on the team, but I want you to be the captain of the team. He may not have that capability. He might be 5'8", 115 pounds. That's just not going to happen. Whatever you did, it seems like you couldn't do anything right because your parents never built confidence in you. And the last thing I want to share with you today is keep a sense of humor when you raise your children. I love that old book that James Dobson wrote many, many years ago, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. A lady wrote to Dr. Dobson, and it's in his book, said, Dear Dr. Dobson, a few months ago, I was making several phone calls in my den or my great room. He said, my daughter, Adrienne, she is 3 years old, and my son Nathan, he's a little fella, he's only 5 months old. He said, now the rules in my house, Adrian has been trying to parent Nathan since he came in the world 5 months ago, and she's only three. So we've got some rules. Do not, Adrian, do not pick up Nathan. You may fall, you may hurt him, may hurt yourself. Do not pick him up. So the man said, I made 3 or 4 or 5 business calls. They were playing in the floor there, Adrian and Nathan. So I got to my 5th phone call, and they're gone. So he hung up the phone. Adrian, no answer. Adrian. So he went down the hall and walked in Adrian's bedroom, and Adrian and Nathan were just playing happily in the floor. He said, Adrian, I told you not to pick up Nathan. He's only 5 months old. He can't crawl. He can't walk. You're going to break his arms or legs. She said, Daddy, I didn't pick up Nathan. He said, well, how in the world did he get in your room? She said, I rolled him all the way down the hall, put him on the inside. There were no damages. And he said, they're still close friends today. Keep a sense of humor with your children. Most precious thing you'll ever do is sit down with your child, not with pressure, but make sure they understand that Jesus was born of Mary, a virgin, lived a sinless life, and that Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood to pay the price for our gift of salvation. Wednesday night, I was coming in to preach, and I was running late. People don't mind if I'm running late to preach. They just get upset when I'm late leaving to preach. And one of the grandparents walked up to me and said, Dr. May, I got good news for you. I said, well, I love good news. I got time for that. She said, my granddaughter got saved this week. We're going to make an appointment to come see you. You know what happened after Wednesday night service? I walked out that side and I was going out. And grandfather came up to see me. He walked up, he said, I got good news for you. I got good news for you. I said, your granddaughter got saved. I said, your wife caught me before the service. You caught me after the service. Isn't that wonderful? Don't let somebody else lead your child to Jesus. I don't mind doing that in my office. Kathy doesn't mind it. Dan doesn't mind it. But that's something you'll not forget throughout all eternity. And then live your faith. Don't be a hypocrite. This nation is starved for young people with leadership qualities, with a Bible-based world view. America needs revival. America needs leaders that don't stand up and lie with a straight face about what they're doing with our nation and what they're doing with you and what they're doing with us on an international scene. And if they don't come from your homes, those of you who called yourselves born-again believers, practicing Christians, God's not going to just drop them out of heaven to take over. Moms and dads, it's your responsibility. So I just wanted to share with you a few principles for the little ones in your home. Let's stand and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for this precious time we got to share in, and I praise you for friends of these families, grandparents, uncles, aunts, all those who come to share in this, because this is a serious time, a very pivotal time when the church, along with these parents, make this decision for me and my house and our church. We will serve you. Help us to encourage these parents. They have so many pressures, so many stresses. And these children face temptations that my generation never even heard of when we were growing up. So just give them spiritual discernment, these parents, and supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to give examples. Let their children be accountable and help them to grow to be practicing Christians and leaders in all areas of life in this nation. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I just gave the plan of salvation. It's very simple. All you got to do is repent of your sins and ask Christ into your heart. Maybe you've already made that decision, need to make it public, be a candidate for baptism and church membership, you come. Maybe you're here today and you've been our guest for a while and you need to invest your spiritual gifts in this church. We'll write for your letter. We just ask you to come. Lord, we thank you for this time in this service, the most important time, when people make private and public decisions that will honor you. And we pray that decisions will be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the Family Life Center, you have Richard and Dan standing at the front. The praise band's coming forward. If you need to make a decision when the praise band begins to play, you come. If you're uncomfortable coming forward, please go to the Connect desk. Dan and Richard will be back there to greet you, pray with you, and talk to you about what any decision that you might make. And then here in the worship center, we invite you to come forward. If you're uncomfortable with that, we ask that you go to the Welcome Center after the service. Ted and I will be here at the front right now, and then we'll be at the Welcome Desk afterwards. We've had people lately who are joining Pleasant Valley South at the Welcome Center desk. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So this is the most important time in the service. Mark's going to lead us. If you're watching on your electronic device, call 706-234-1841. Leave a message and one of our staff members will get in touch with you right away about your decision. Mark's singing now. You come.